welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. On the Shoebox Ministry, Wednesday, I think, on the 19th, we'll need them all. If you get them, bring you one, bring them by that Wednesday on the 19th. If you need shoeboxes, they are some in the back. We have plenty, but I don't know if Jan, somebody put some together for us, which is a blessing because I can't ever get them right. But they are back there. Don't take as many as you want. If we need to put more in the back, we will. But as you saw in the video, you know, the shoebox gift is just the start of this ministry. It's the very beginning of it. Afterwards, these missionaries are following up and all with it. So keep them in your prayer, as Brother Graham has said, and if you can, do a shoebox, or do two, do three, whatever the Lord leads you to do. Thanks for the help and support in the trunk or treat that we had Friday here, all that were involved in that. Thank you from the church for helping with that and all. And always know it's getting close. I want to thank Miss Carolyn and Sissy for the decoration for the month of November. I always look forward to it because I know Thanksgiving is right around the corner when I see the decorations come out on the first Sunday in November. And I want to thank them for, you know, we, and I'm guilty of this, y'all may not, sometimes we just think things happen. A lot of work and effort goes into the ministries of this church and even the decorations and things like that. And I know Brother Tim feels the same way, that we appreciate, everybody appreciates your help in all these ministries and all. And speaking of that, next Wednesday, November the 5th at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and church conference. Soup and sandwiches as a sign-up sheet on the table as you enter the sanctuary on the back there, as I'm looking towards the back, actually the front of the church. And then next Monday, November the 10th, we'll provide the meal for the ESL class. Meet at First Baptist if you can help at 7:30 p.m. I think we usually feed around 8, isn't it? 8:30, so that'll give us plenty of time to get everything prepared. Hot dogs will be served. There's a sign-up sheet for items needed on the table in the back, along with the Wednesday night fellowship meal. So if you can help provide some items, they are listed there. Just put your name and have them here, what, by Sunday? Yes. Yeah, have them here by next Sunday so we can get them over there Monday night. And then the next week, Monday, November the 17th, we will provide the meal again for the ESL class at the same time, 7:30 p.m. I'm sure we'll have another list, or we'll have next Sunday for that also to help that. Thursday, November 20th at 7 p.m. is the Men Standing in the Gap meeting. Sunday, November the 23rd at 6 p.m. is the Community Thanksgiving service at Wigham Methodist Church. So we'll have no church that night. We'll meet there at the Methodist Church. And then Wednesday, November the 26th, there'll be no prayer meeting. That's Thanksgiving Eve. And Sunday, November 30th, the Lord's Supper and fellowship meal after the morning service. And then that Sunday night on the 30th, the evening service will be held in the original church. Any other announcements? Tim? Okay.
It's not on the list yet. But December 6th, if y'all will plan, that'll be our community meal that we do have done the last couple of years. And so if you will help with that, because like last year, I think we did 279 plates, and or somewhere close, that might be more, might be less, but around that, it takes everybody working together, and I really appreciate everybody's help in the past. But as you know, unless something happens with the SNAP benefits, people are going to be needing. And so if we can provide that for them, I know it's just one meal, but it might be the one meal at the right time when they didn't have anything. And so be praying about it and then help I will give you more information as we move towards that, but I appreciate everybody.
Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunities that we have throughout this month of November. Even more will be coming up, Lord, I know in December and all. Lord, and we just thank you for the fact that your church here, Wigan Baptist Church, reaches out to the community, Lord, that we do want to be able to meet needs, Lord, physical needs, whether it's meals or shoe boxes or trunk or treat or things like that, Lord. But we also want to use these as opportunities to reach people spiritually, Lord, and to show them that we love them, Lord, and that you love them, that Christ loves them. And one way we can do that, Lord, is we do meet these needs, Lord. We can be prepared and ready, Lord, and should be telling people how much Jesus loves them, that he actually died for them and died for their sins so they could have eternal life, Lord. And Lord, that is the most important message that we can send out into this this world today, Lord. And I just pray through these opportunities and these ministries, Lord, that we will continue to do that, Lord, and reach people, Lord. Go to them when we need to go to them, Lord, and encourage them to come to us, Lord, as we have these ministries, Lord. Lord, but I do just want to take this time, Lord, to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord. As we studied in Sunday school this morning, Lord, let us come and let us show our expression of love. Let us love our Lord with all our heart, with all our strength, and with all our soul, Lord, today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. If you can, this morning, please stand as we sing hymn 421, Whosoever Meaneth Me. Oh, my friend.
pledge your word. And of the Lord, we take up this offering and glorify your name and do your will. In our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. To Galatians chapter 1. I briefly want to go back and just quickly do a review on what we looked at last week in the first few verses of Galatians chapter 1. But we have seen that this letter was addressed from Paul to the churches at Galatia, and we have found that there has been an attack on Paul as far as his credibility of what they claim that he was not an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so I believe that Paul could have, he probably could have handled having a personal attack on himself from those who came in. But the problem with trying to discredit Paul was that by discrediting Paul's apostleship, they were also denying that salvation comes by grace, through faith. And Paul could not stand for not just himself being attacked as not being an apostle, but the real motive behind it was to discredit Paul. And thereby, if they could discredit Paul, then they could thereby discredit the gospel of salvation by grace. And so the problem with that, as we know, that if you do away with salvation by grace, you do away with salvation, period. Because we know that as we studied through the book of Hebrews, the law could never save you. Right? So there was no way to be saved outside of grace, but the people who were coming in trying to discredit Paul were saying that, listen, you it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you got to keep doing all the things that you could never do before, right? If you couldn't do them before for your salvation, how are you going to do them now after you're saved? And so it was just a merry-go-round, so to speak, that they were trying to get people to sway to them. As I have said, and as I've always said, false prophets, false teachers want you to worship them, not God. They want you to somehow think that they're better, more educated, and so they try to lead people astray and win them over. We see it today in politics, don't we? If somebody is running for office, or maybe they're already in office, if people can't persuade you to join their side, what do they begin to do? Trash talk, right? They try to discredit you. They throw mud at you. Today's society, they start calling you all kind of different names. We won't get into all that this morning. But that's how they do, because they somehow want to minimize who you are. Same thing that was happening here in Galatians, in the churches of Galatia. Paul was preaching the gospel. He was telling them the truth, and yet there were people who came in who wanted to subvert the truth. They wanted to do away with the gospel message because they didn't like Paul, they didn't like what he preached. They thought that salvation was only to the Jews, but we know that even when God called Abraham, he told Abraham that through him all nations would be blessed, not just the Jewish nation. So we see this, and we see that Paul is upset about this. He knows that if you do away with grace, the grace of God, then you do away with salvation. Let's look at verse 10. We're going to read it to begin with, and then we'll come back and read verses 11 and 12 in just a moment. But Paul, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul is fixing to lay out, and we'll talk about more of this tonight and probably next Sunday morning, but Paul is beginning to line up his defense, okay? Because he has been kind of, in a sense, brought before a court, so to speak. You got the public opinion, and then you got the gospel and God's opinion, right? And really, that's what Paul's laying out here, because he asked a couple questions right off the bat to line up his defense. He says, listen, do I persuade men? Am I here to get your approval? If any preacher or pastor wants to get everybody's opinion, you're in trouble. Because half the people are going to like you, just like in politics, right? And half aren't. And there's no way because if you please one, then you're not pleasing another. You please that, and you're not pleasing this. And so there's no real way to rectify that other than to stand on God's word, okay? Because that's where it all comes down. That's exactly what Paul was doing. He's saying, I'm not persuading men. I'm not trying to. I'm not here to get your approval, so to speak. So he asked, what do I now persuade men or God? And listen, Paul was commissioned. He was given that command to go to the Gentiles. But while he was going to the Gentiles, he'd speak before the leaders, the rulers, and kings, and everybody else, as we'll see as we go through. But Paul was sent by Jesus Christ, and we'll look at this, like I say, as we go through. When God got a hold of Paul, when that light, bright light shined down on him and knocked him off his horse, he knew who got his attention, right? He thought he was going the right way, but he realized he wasn't. And he was sent with a purpose, with a plan that God gave to him. And as he's doing it, because when you preach the truth of God's word, people aren't going to like it always, right? Because it offends, it cuts, it hurts. And so they, instead of lining their lives up with it, they want to fight against it. But just because you disagree with it doesn't mean it's not true. So you've got to realize that there is truth. Paul is speaking the truth. That was, several thousand years before this. That was already proclaimed that it was going to happen. And so Paul simply said, listen, am I here to please God or please you? If my purpose is to please you, that means I'm not pleasing God, right? It's not Paul's job to try to persuade God to accept man's morality, right? That's not how it works. He is commissioned to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to try to persuade God, okay, God, why don't you just take what everybody's doing already just to accept that? Isn't that good enough? And God's standards are what? Perfection. Absolute obedience. No compromise whatsoever. So, we realize that Paul is setting out this defense by, you know, asking a simple rhetorical question. Am I, you know, am I now to persuade men? No. Am I to persuade God? No. Here's the thing I thought of as I studied through this. Have you ever been in a group of people, co-workers, friends, family, and you knew all the facts about something, but they had a different opinion? They had a different belief. How did you respond? Did you speak the truth anyhow? Or did you compromise what you believe and say, maybe you didn't speak the truth at all, maybe just, well, I'm not going to say anything because if I do, somebody's not going to like it. So we've remained. Paul couldn't remain silent on this issue because salvation was at stake. Some of us, though, let me just throw this out there as an example. January is just 2 months away, right? January is coming up. January, we do normally sanctity of life, human life, during the month of January. And so it's coming up. I start planning for it. But we deal with the issue of abortion. I saw that even though most abortions have been banned in the state of Georgia, that this past year that there was like 28,000 babies that were murdered in the state of Georgia, right? Is abortion wrong? Yes. Y'all help me out. Y'all can answer me.
Yes.
Is abortion wrong?
Yes. Yes.
But maybe you're with your friends, family, and they got a different opinion than you. You're a stick in the mud, right? You can't be moved, and they know that, but they're going to talk around you, talk about you, and call you names, and Bible thumper, and all that kind of stuff. That's okay. You call Jesus names too, right? They say, well, I believe this woman's right. And you believe, no, God is the creator, the giver, the sustainer of life. It doesn't matter how it began. If you didn't want it to begin, don't fool around, right? Simple. It doesn't matter your job status. It does not matter your income status. It doesn't matter what race it is. None of that matters because once that life begins, it is no longer your life. It is another child's life. It is another person's life. And God gives every single person value because that child is made in the image of God. So instead of speaking out and speaking boldly about what you believe, you say, well, I'm just not going to say anything. Would we compromise our beliefs on abortion? Would we remain silent? Would we help in some form, fashion, transportation, financially, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you do, that's murder. If you rob a bank and you're the car driver and you didn't even walk in the bank, everybody gets in to leave, how is the court going to find you? Guilty by what? You see, Paul was not dealing with the issue of abortion, but Paul was dealing with an issue even greater than abortion. He's talking about salvation and how we get salvation and how Jesus gives us salvation and all that by faith. And he knows that if you compromise on this issue, you lose it all. The whole ship sinks without salvation by grace through faith. To lose it loses everything. And Paul says, no, you can't go down this road. It has to be fought for. It has to be held to the highest standard, because without it, no one can be saved. I think Paul is saying, listen, I'm not trying to please men, but I am trying to please God. God's way is set. It's set in stone. It is the foundation of our faith. And without salvation by grace through faith, there's no way to be saved. And Paul says there's no way you can change it and keep it. Salvation by grace through faith. Here again, when you lose it, you lose it all. Paul goes on. He said, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He said, listen, you lose it all. I lose who I am in Christ, and you lose who you are in Christ. We can't go that route, because when we do, it all falls apart. He says, remember I told you when you see the word but, then you circle it, because something changes, right? It's a transition word. You can't, Paul is not persuading men. He's not persuading God. He's doing what God has called him to do, commanded him to do. And he feels so strongly about this that there's no compromise. He says this in verse 11. He said, but I make known to you. How many of y'all use that phrase this week? But I make known to you. Probably nobody, right? What would we say? Here are the facts. This is what I know. That's how we, but Paul, he said, you know, he's kind of like a lawyer. But I make known to you, in other words, he's laying down the line. I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to who? To man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, listen, in his defense, he stated who he was in verse 1. And then he goes on to deny their accusation that he is not an apostle. And he says, I'm not guilty of not being one. I am guilty of being one, right? And he lays into that. And then he comes and he says here in verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren. In other words, he's fixing to start laying out his defense. The gospel I preach is not according to man. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, listen, this isn't my gospel. This isn't something I came up with. And as we'll learn as we go through, Paul, he said, listen, I didn't learn this gospel of grace through faith. I didn't learn it on the streets of Wigan, Georgia. I didn't learn it from Wigan Baptist Church or Providence Baptist Church or El Bethel Baptist Church or Cairo First. I didn't learn it from any of these places. I wasn't taught it by man. He was really saying this, and I didn't just go to sleep one night and wake up after having a dream that some angel came and revealed some tablets that were golden, and nobody's seen them since, right? Nobody else know what they say. And Paul said, I didn't just dream this up and write it down to follow. I didn't receive it from anyone. It wasn't something I concocted. It wasn't something I made up. This gospel was not man's invention. Can I tell you how we know that it's not man's invention? Because all the other religions of the world do what? How do you get your salvation?
Works.
Works, right? We touched on that last week. By works. And so if we were going to have a dream and make up a religion, we would have to work, right? It's amazing that some of the bigger denominations, I shouldn't even say religions, right? Other religions, man, they got people show up Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, and then in the evening time, they're going out to witness and to people all around, right? Because why? They're trying to earn their way into heaven. But we receive it freely, and most of the time we won't do anything. Wow, what an indictment. Paul is saying, listen, the gospel cannot be compromised on. It didn't come by me scheming it. It doesn't come from somebody else telling me this. Because here he says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. It came through the revelation of who? It came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The rest of the time we have this morning, and it just won't take long. But I want us to look at this gospel that Paul is preaching, that Paul is not going to compromise on, and we can't compromise on either, because it is a revelation that Jesus gave Paul himself. Paul's really saying, listen, I receive this, and I'm not going to use that. That's right. Y'all ever heard of hearing something from the horse and mouth, right? That means you got it from the source, right? Paul is, in a sense, saying that I got this straight from Jesus Christ himself. There was no middleman. There was no markup. There was no subtraction. It is point blank what Jesus revealed to me. We call it a mystery. The word revelation simply means, in the dictionary, used in this way, it is something that was previously unknown that is now being made known, right? The word mystery is very similar in nature to revelation. It was something that was hidden in time past but now has been revealed. Paul talks about this mystery over and over again, and it deals with a revelation that Jesus Christ gave to him. Well, what is this revelation? What is this mystery? Paul writes about it in other letters, and so I want to take the rest of our time this morning, just briefly compare, we'll just read them and talk about them as we go through. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 20 through 27, This is what Paul says, now to him, meaning God, Christ, who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Now, whose gospel really was this? Was it Paul's? Paul was preaching it, but who did he get it from? From Jesus, right? Okay, let's make that clear. According to my gospel and the preaching of who? Jesus Christ, not Tim Dudley, not whatever your name is. According to the revelation of the mystery. Y'all underline it if you got your Bible there. Kept secret since the world began. God's plan throughout history, before he ever formed the earth, before he ever set the motions of the tides and the waters and the sun and the moon and the stars, you were already on his mind. He already had his plan of salvation laid out. And it was never by works, because Hebrews told us, by the works of the law, no one can be justified. Right? It wasn't by keeping laws. But it was by the laws to show us just how guilty, how filthy we are, and how much we need a Savior to save us from our sins. But throughout history, from Adam and Eve, all the way through to Jesus, well, we'll read a verse in this minute, Peter, where it talks about how all the angels even desire to look into salvation. The salvation we have by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's read on. The mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. In other words, now it's been revealed, right? That's manifest means to be made seen. And by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the what? It didn't say law, did it? Says obedience to the faith, in other words, to believe. To God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul is saying here, listen, salvation is a mystery that God revealed to him, but it's been written about from the prophets all the way up, right? Moses, Abraham, Adam and Eve, and Jesus was already being foretold that salvation would be coming through grace, through faith. Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 13. This is what Paul writes here. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you who? Gentiles. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the great, what is dispensation? It means the scattering. It's like when you shine a bright light on the prism and it scatters throughout the room. It's different color rainbow because y'all did that in school. The spread of the grace of God which was given to me for who? For you, for us, the Jews, the Gentiles, and guess who we are? Unless you have a Jewish ancestry, you're a Gentile like me. The dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation, there's that word again, he made known to me the mystery. There's that one thing. He's already written about by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages has or was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body, and the partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through what? Through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Here again, Paul is saying, listen, the mystery has been solved, so to speak. The revelation that was hidden from the beginning of time has now been made known to all of us through the gospel which Paul preaches. One more passage before we get to 1 Peter. Colossians 1, 27 through chapter 2. Says, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. How do we get Christ in us? By faith in Jesus Christ, which is in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How do we present people perfect in Christ Jesus? By telling them the gospel truth, right? And they accept the gospel truth. And when they accept the gospel truth, that our sins are imputed into Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness is imputed into us. So therefore, we are made perfect, so to speak, through Christ. And Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, and all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you, and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Paul's whole goal, let me back up just a second. Did Paul choose this life? Did Paul think he was on the right path before? We'll talk about this tonight. Paul thought he was on the right path, and he was putting Christians to death, right? He was there at stoning Stephen. He had court papers. He was the judge, the jury, the executioner. As they took Stephen's life. But Jesus got a hold of him, and Jesus turned him around and says, not by the law, it's by grace, right? It's by faith. He turned everything around, and Paul realized that without grace, he could not be saved. And when Jesus Christ saved him, he could not help but preach Jesus Christ to others. I wonder if Jesus has made that difference in our lives. You say, well, what about the other apostles? What did they preach? Well, listen to what Peter, because if you're going to say, you know, those closest to Jesus would have been, you know, the ones to listen to, not Paul. That's what they were had already been saying. Listen to what Peter writes here, 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 11. He said, of this salvation the prophets inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come in. In other words, here's the idea. You go back, you read Daniel, Ezekiel, Amos, Joel. All these people wrote in the Bible. And they were telling of something that they did not understand. Okay? Now, God was showing them bits and pieces, and as God spoke, they wrote it down. But they didn't fully understand it, and they could search the scriptures all they wanted to of the Old Testament. And what did they find in the Old Testament? They fully believed that the Jews at that point in time were going to be the rulers of the world, right? That the Messiah was going to come, set up his earthly kingdom, and rule and reign, and I am that salvation came because of who I was born to. And all I had to do is kind of memorize or recite some verses every once in a while, show up at church on the time, at the right times, and do this stuff, and I'm good. But that wasn't about it at all. But they couldn't see that because they looked and they kept looking and kept looking, they kept searching, kept searching, kept searching. And they could not find the answer they were looking for. But that's when the age of the church steps in. That's when Jesus Christ steps on the scene And he begins his gospel by faith, by believing in him and by repenting of sins. And Paul comes along and he reveals what Jesus had revealed to him, that through Jesus Christ, through the same promise he gave to Abraham, that in him all nations would be blessed. That salvation came through faith, and faith alone. Why is this so important? Because the gates of heaven open and close on this truth. If you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus, there is no hope for you in eternity. In eternity and hell, separated from God, tortured night and day, no rest, no comfort. But the gates of heaven open close on the gospel truth. Gentiles like you and I cannot get to heaven on our own. The Jews could not get to heaven on their own. The Jews couldn't keep laws. We can't keep laws. We can't be perfected on our own. They couldn't be perfected on their own. But through Jesus Christ, we are made perfect. Salvation does not come by becoming a Jew. Remember, there was ways that the Gentiles could become Jews. They had to keep the laws, had to be circumcised, and you know, had to do all the things that Jews. But the Jews didn't save themselves either by keeping the law, because it could never bring salvation. It wasn't by becoming a Jew. It wasn't by keeping the laws. It wasn't by becoming circumcised. It wasn't by observing all the holy days that were commanded. It wasn't by being good enough, right? Because we know no one is good. It wasn't by coming to church, right? Being a member of Wiggum Baptist Church don't guarantee your stamp into heaven, right? You might say you have a ticket, but Jesus ain't going to ask you for a ticket. He's going to ask you, do you have my son Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? He ain't looking for a ticket. Not by tithing. It's not by being baptized, it's not by becoming a member of this church or any other church. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Can I ask you this morning, have you received the gift of grace, the free gift of grace that Jesus offers to you? This morning, you've heard the gospel. And just simply by placing our faith and trust in what Jesus, who he is, what he has done, what he is doing now. And when we place our faith and hope and future in his hands, his word promises that he will save us. But have you done it? Have you made that decision today? If so, you can rejoice. But if not, you've got reason to be concerned. You hear it every day. Somebody goes out into eternity. Doesn't matter if they're a year old, 10 years old, 20, 40, 50, 60. You know, we all think we have forever to live, but none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. What would you hand Jesus when you see him face to face? Would you try to hand him some stamp, some church letter, some Bible that's got your name written on it, where you got your baptism date and church membership date? I mean, so this is proof. It's, no, I'm not looking for that. Where's my son? And if you don't have my son in your heart, then you don't belong to me. Depart from me. Are you sure of your salvation this morning? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation once again, Lord, we're reminded that there is nothing, absolutely nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It's already been paid for. It's already been purchased. Lord, and it is free to all who will put their faith and trust in you. Lord, you do give the free gift of salvation. But Lord, in return, you ask us to give you our all. All of our love, all of our hearts, all of our strength, all of our might, all of our soul. Oh, we have to put you first and foremost in everything we do and all that we are. Lord, I pray for one here today who would say, I don't know if I die tonight where I would go. I'm not 100% sure, but I want to be sure. Lord, I pray that time of singing, Lord, they just grab it by the hands and go to him, I want to know. And we'll rejoice with him. But Lord, we also realize there might be some who know the truth. They've accepted the truth. But Lord, they haven't been living for you. They've been compromising in their faith, what they believe. And Lord, even in the gospel. So Lord, I pray that you would just convict. And I pray, God, that you would give us reason to celebrate, Lord, because you have done a work in us. Lord, lead us and guide us in all the way you can. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.